in this on so you can hear me. Small group notes here for those who find those helpful. And if you have a Bible, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you'd like a Bible, wave your hand in the air. The stewards will bring one to you. As been mentioned already, we're in the middle of a series looking at the spiritual gifts, and today we're looking at the spiritual gift of faith. So I'm just going to read a few verses to begin with from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1 says this, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant." It's one of the reasons that we're doing this series, is that we can take time to stop and think and learn and understand about them. And in verse 7, the writer continues, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." To each one. Everyone who trusts in Jesus gets to join in with this. "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit." Here's our one. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines." Today we're going to focus on the spiritual gift of faith to understand what Paul the writer here means and what that means for us today. What is the spiritual gift of faith? Well, I think it's important to distinguish it from what I want to call this morning saving faith. So what Paul talks about here as a gift, I think, is different to saving faith. And I'll tell you why I think that. If you turn back in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you've still got that open, to right to the beginning of the book, to the letter, chapter 1 and verse 2, and we see who Paul is writing to, who he's writing to about these spiritual gifts. And so chapter 1, verse 2, we see him write to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing to the church. He's writing to people who are already in Christ, who have already called on the name of Jesus, people who have faith in Jesus already. He's writing to Christians. And you cannot become a Christian without faith, without saving faith. I just want to spend a moment on this because this is really, really important. A couple more verses that are going to come up on the screen from the New Testament, which just explain this a little bit more to us. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God." And in Romans chapter 5, we read, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." So this is saving faith. The kind of faith that's given to everyone who trusts in Jesus. No one is excluded. Everyone is invited into a relationship with him. And the moment that you say yes to God and Jesus, or the moment that you did do that at some point in the past, you were changed from being a person who has no faith to a person who has been given faith, saving faith. From not trusting to trusting him. And you were given this faith, this saving faith, which stays with you forever. Saving faith is for everyone who believes. And how do we get that? Romans chapter 10 tells us this: faith comes by hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. It comes when you hear about Jesus. Faith is released as a response to hearing the gospel, the good news about Jesus and who he is, the Son of God, about his life and his death and his resurrection. And it's why people need to hear about Jesus. Because that's how faith is released. That's how lives are transformed. And it's how our faith is kept strong. It's why we continue to talk about the good news of Jesus, even to people who have faith already, because it builds our saving faith. And if you don't have that, you can have that. If you don't know this Jesus that we've been thinking about, we've been singing about, we've been praying to, we've been considering his sacrifice for us and the amazing exchange that he offers to us, you can receive that right now. You can receive that this morning in this place. And you can know that your sin is forgiven and that you have eternal life forevermore with him. In fact, why don't we just stop right now? Why don't we just pray for that right now? We just pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love for us that we've been singing about this morning. We thank you that you so loved this world that you sent your son Jesus to be our Savior, to live a perfect life, to die a terrible death on the cross, taking the punishment for our sin, and being raised to life again to show that he has done it, everything that needs to be done. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say that we believe in that. We believe in you. And we trust in what you have done for us. And for anyone here who is doing that for the first time right now, Father, we say that we believe in you. We trust in what Jesus has done for us. We ask you to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from it all, to give us new life, and to release saving faith to us right now. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then please tell someone, come and tell me afterwards. We'd love to talk to you some more, to pray with you some more. Saving faith. Available to everyone. But I believe that what Paul is talking about in our chapter, in these spiritual gifts, is something different. Because people is writing to people who already have saving faith. And he says to them, some of you are going to be given a gift of faith on top of that. So what is that? Well, I think trying to come up with a definition is something like this. It's going to come up on the screen, I think. The gift of faith is like a surge of faith, a confidence that God is going to act in a certain way. It's a gift that's given to certain people at certain times. Saving faith that we all have would believe something like, but we believe that God can heal. We believe that. We pray for healing for people. Whereas sometimes people are given a gift of faith, and in that specific moment, they just are convinced that God is going to heal this person right now. And they have the faith to pray for that with confidence. Saving faith may believe that God will provide all our needs. He has promised that he will, and we believe that absolutely. Whereas the gift of faith in a particular moment may mean that one, a person is absolutely convinced that God is going to send £50,000 by the end of the week to fund an evangelistic program that they want to do. And they're absolutely convinced and they pray, they know. And if you ask them how they know, they'll probably say, I don't know how I know, but I just know God has put this faith in me for this. And I'm convinced that he's going to do it. Can you see the difference between the two? It's not that one is better than the other, it's just that they're different. And we see examples of this spiritual gift of faith throughout the Bible. We're going to look at a few together this morning. And they are so exciting. And if these don't cause us to eagerly desire this spiritual gift, then I don't know what will. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, first of all, here we read an account of a God speaking to a man called Abraham, who later became, his name was changed to Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we read, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And he promises to make him a great nation who will be blessed and will be a blessing. And in verse 4, we read, so Abram went, just as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, the place where he was living. And I believe that in that moment, Abram was given this gift of faith to trust that God was going to do something specific, something that he promised Abram that he would do. And so even though he was 75 years old, he left everything he had and everything that he knew, and he set out for this new place, convinced that God was going to do this specific thing that God had said he was going to do. And in Hebrews chapter 11, a chapter that Lynn referred to earlier on, which is just full of people of faith, this is what it says. It was by faith that Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. But he was given faith in that moment that God was going to do what he said he would do. And it took a long time for that to come to fruition. It was a long journey to get there, but God did what he said he would do. If you turn on to 1 Kings chapter 18, you read the account there, which is very well known, of Elijah's contest with the false prophets of the pagan idol Baal. The background to this is that God's people, Israel, have been deceived into thinking that maybe pagan idols have got something to bring to the table. Maybe we should worship them in the same way that we worship our God. And so God's prophet Elijah calls everyone to the top of a mountain where he's going to sort this out once and for all. And two bulls are brought and they're slaughtered and they're laid on piles of wood as a sacrifice. And Elijah says in verse 24 to everybody, okay, you guys, you call on the name of your God and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers with fire, he is God. And I believe here Elijah has been given a gift of faith that God is going to do something specific here. Because this is more than him simply saying, you know, I believe that God could answer with fire. He knows what God is going to do. And the priests of Baal do their thing and they dance around and they shout and scream and they cut themselves and they cry out to Baal for hours and hours and nothing happens. And then Elijah, who has been given this gift of faith and he knows what God is going to do, he is so confident that he pours water all over his sacrifice 3 times and then he prays one prayer. And in verse 38 we read, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the soil and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw this, they fell down and they cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah had this gift of faith, this surge of confidence. He knew that God was going to do something specific in that situation, and God did it. And we see examples of it in the New Testament too. If you turn to Matthew chapter 9, we read there about a woman who had some kind of bleeding illness. She'd had it for 12 years. The account in Mark's gospel tells us that she'd spent all her money on trying different doctors and treatments and remedies just to try and get this cured. And she hears about Jesus who's been healing people. And perhaps she wondered, I wonder if maybe he could heal me. She hears that Jesus is coming to her town, and then I believe she, in that moment, she's given a gift of faith. She has this surge of confidence, and by faith she knows that if she can just touch his clothes, she will be healed of this thing. In Mark chapter 5, we read her account, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And here in Matthew 9, verse 21, if I can only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Not maybe, not perhaps. I believe Jesus could do it if he wanted to, but I know that if I can just touch him, I'm going to be healed. And she did it, and she pushed through the crowd, and she touched Jesus' cloak. And in verse 22, we read, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. But before it happened, she just knew she'd been given this gift of faith, this surge of confidence that God had promised her something specific in that moment. And it happened. And we see it in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John are going into the temple and they see the lame man who's been lame from birth, do you remember? And they don't just pray that God might heal him. Peter says to him, get up and walk right now. And he does. I believe that was a gift of faith for that moment, for that healing. We read about it in Acts chapter 9. You remember Paul has encountered the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, and as a result, part of the result of that is that he's blind and he can't see, and people have to lead him into the city. And then God gives a gift of faith to somebody else, a man called Ananias. And he says to him, I want you to go and meet this poor, because when you do, he's going to get his sight back right there and then. And sure enough, that's what happened. In Acts 9:17, we read that Ananias finds him and he says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again. And immediately, scales fell from Paul's eyes and he could see again. A gift of faith for that specific thing. No maybe, just this confidence. I just know that God is going to do this. And we see it again and again throughout the Bible, a gift of faith for different things. Sometimes for the promises of God, like it was with Abraham. Sometimes it's for healing, like some of the ones we've just read. Or that God is going to raise somebody from the dead, or to help people who are facing a particular kind of opposition, or to believe the promise that a child's going to be born to someone when that's humanly impossible. Lots of different ways. And often it's linked with some of the other spiritual gifts. So maybe it's linked with a word of knowledge, but it just comes with such certainty that God has said this. This is the word of God. Or confidence about a healing or a miracle that God is going to do. And it's not only for Bible times. This is for God's people today. Simon Ponsonby, in his fantastic book on the Holy Spirit, which is called God Inside Out, if you want a good book to read on this, in his section on this gift of faith, recounts one experience of his. He writes, on a mission to Portsmouth years ago, I met a man who mocked Christianity. His hand was covered in warts, and he taunted and tested God, and he informed the whole crowd of people who were there that nothing had worked to remove them, but if God would heal him, he would believe. The group of half a dozen around him all nodded approval at the gauntlet that he had thrown down. And at that moment, I didn't feel deflated. I felt faith rise in me. And I said to him, God will heal you 1 week from today, and then you will know. 6 days later, his girlfriend informed me that there was no change. But 7 days later, he woke with perfect skin and refused to leave his frat because he was terrified. His whole worldview had been turned upside down. And his friends saw and heard and believed and sought prayer. But it was just a surge of faith in that moment. And you know, I believe God still gives this gift today to his church, and he will give it to people here in New Malden Baptist Church. I think I've had a taste of something like this to do with the plant of church plant in Malden Manor. Because that's just not me. To do something totally new, to be sent out to do it kind of on my own as the leading person to do that, that's something so different, something that I have no experience of in my own strength, is just not me at all. But God has put something within me that I'm convinced that this is him, and that this is right, and this is the right time to be doing it, and that he wants me to be involved in it. And I think that's a gift of faith for me, that this is right. This is a gift for God's church today, just as much as it was in Bible times. So what's the purpose of it, of this gift of faith? We know from the passage that we read that all these gifts are given for the common good. So how does that work? What does that look like? I want to suggest three main ways that this gift of faith is for the common good. And the first one is that it brings glory to God. When a person receives a gift of faith for something specific like this and acts on it publicly, God gets the glory. So Elijah was just convinced that he knew what God was going to do on the top of that mountain. He had no doubt in his mind that God was going to answer his prayer with fire. And when God did, everyone could see the power and the majesty and the glory of God at work. God revealed himself, his power. God got the glory. When Ananias went to Paul and he said, God has sent me so that you can get your sight back right now, and he got his sight back right then, God got the glory. And you know, church, we live in a world where God is largely forgotten. And he is intentionally sidelined. He's thought of as irrelevant, with nothing to say and nothing to offer and no power to act in this world. But where his people are given this gift of faith and they act on it, God gets the glory. God is revealed in all his power, and all the world can see we need this gift exercised in the world today. God gets the glory. Secondly, I believe it's for the common good, because it builds faith in God's people, in the church. When one of God's people receives a gift of faith for something, it encourages everybody else around them to start believing and for praying for that thing too. Now, we learned last week how one of the other gifts of the Spirit is a gift of discernment, and we need to be careful not to just get caught up in someone's wishful thinking. But as God's people, when we discern, you know, yes, I believe this is from God, it builds faith in us. It builds faith in other Christians around the person who's been given this gift of faith to believe for it too, to pray for it too. All the gifts, including this one, are for the common good. And this gift of faith builds faith in other people. People will start praying bigger prayers, more specific prayers, with more confidence because someone's been given a gift of faith for something. Church, we need this, don't we? Something that will just encourage us in our faith and in our prayers. That will just build us up in our expectations of God, what God wants to do in us, what God wants to do through us. We need this gift. Thirdly, it brings people who don't have faith to faith in God. After God answered Elijah's prayer with fire, as he knew God would, then all the unbelieving people around him straight away declared their faith in God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We can see it. Here is evidence. When Peter and John healed this man at the gate of the temple, we read at the end of the account of everything that happened here that many, many people came to faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The guy who had the warts healed on his hand, as had been predicted through a gift of faith, came to faith himself, and his friends and family around him came to faith too. I want to see people come into faith. And one way that can happen is through God's people, through us exercising this gift of faith. It's a reason why we should eagerly desire it amongst us. So all of us, everyone here who is believing in Jesus, who's trusting in him for their forgiveness, for their salvation, you have faith. You have saving faith that God has given you. And it will sustain you, and it will mean that you do trust in him and in his promises and in his word and in his character. But on top of that, there is this gift of faith. This surge of faith, this faith that rises within us, that God is going to do something specific. You know, one of the reasons that we're doing this series, another one of the reasons, is that as a leadership, we don't want us as a group of people to be a church that just talks about these things. That just talks about these gifts either here or in our small groups, and kind of think about them and understand them. And all of that is important, but we want to be a group of people who eagerly desires these gifts, as it tells us to do in 1 Corinthians, to receive them, to use them for the glory of God and for the good of everyone here and everyone outside these walls. So the writer to Corinthians says, eagerly desire them. Ask for them. And I want to encourage us all this morning to ask for this gift. That there will be times when we are sure and certain of things that we cannot see yet because God has put that gift of faith within us. It may be for yourself and myself, as it was for the woman with the bleeding problem. It may be for someone else, like Ananias with Paul's blindness, or the man who had the warts on his hands. It may be because you're facing a particular situation and you just would love to hear God's specific word about that thing. Ask for the gift of faith. It may be for healing. It may be for the revelation of who God is to you or to somebody else, to come to faith. It may be for breakthrough on something, for change in some situation, but to eagerly desire this gift. If I'm honest, this is the first time I've ever really taken time to stop and think and read and try and understand what this gift of faith is. I've seen it written on that list, but I've never really stopped and thought about it before. And I've never, therefore, ever asked for it, certainly by name, before this week. But it's something that I've got excited about as I've done that reading and studying and praying and preparing for today. Because it's exciting. And so I'm going to be praying for it. And I'd love you to join me. So if the band want to come back, please. We're just going to pray. Time has gone, so we're going to pray quite quickly now. But if you would love someone to pray with you about this, then please make your way to the front at the end of the service. There'll be people who are happy to come, be happy to come and pray with you. But let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you again for your amazing love for us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, of yourself to us. We thank you for the saving faith that you've put within every single one of us who's trusting in you. But Father, as we've come to see that this extra gift of faith and how it can be used for your glory and for the building up of your church, and for bringing other people to faith in you, we want to ask that you would release the gift of faith amongst us now. Father, we pray that you would write the truth of what it is upon our hearts and on our minds, that in the future we would ask you for it again. We pray that you would speak. We pray that we as your children, as your sheep, would recognize your voice and be ready to exercise this gift of faith as you release it to us. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.